and gentlemen, I'd like to read just a few verses of the scriptures, words of invitation, words of life, and words of warning from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Saviour said this, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Oh friends, who is Christ? He is the fountain of living waters. And what are we doing when we live godless, careless lives, hewing for ourselves broken cisterns that hold no water? Where is the satisfaction of the heart in a godless life, in a careless, sensual life, a life lived just for the here and now? Oh, friends, look at your hearts, look at your lives, look at your priorities. Where is the great glory of your heart if you don't know the living God, don't know his mercy, don't know his power and his washing? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." What are the things for which we thirst? Are they the things that really matter? Things that are substantial? Things that endure? Or are they things that are temporary and passing? Our lives are ephemeral. Like a morning cloud, they pass away. Like a morning flower that flourishes and then fades. Oh, friends, by nature, our lives are so temporary. Like a spider's web, so fragile. Today, tomorrow, we may be gone, blown with the wind. In Christ is the reality of God's will and God's call to us. Seek him while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." What will we find in that fountain of life? Forgiveness for sin, cleansing of the heart, a life of prayer, a life of worship, a life of wisdom, a life of godliness. Oh, friends, by nature, our lives are base and cheap in the sight of God. They're worth so little, fit only to be thrown away and cast into the rubbish tip of hell. By nature, our lives in the sight of God are base and weak and faint. But in Christ is the power to wash us, to load us with virtue and strength. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Oh, friends, look again at your heart, your priorities, your life. Where are you headed if you don't know God's wisdom? You don't know his grace, don't know his wonderful kindness, don't know why his Son came, why he suffered and died on the cross, why he called sinners to repentance, why he gave his own heart and his life, poured out for us in order that we might know wisdom and grace. Again, Christ said this, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." In the Lord Jesus Christ is that fountain opened up for sin and uncleanness, spoken of by the Hebrew prophets centuries before he came. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the one attested and spoken of by the Jewish prophets many centuries before he came. Look again at the cross, friends. Look at the Christ. In him is the mercy and the power of God. But our friends, by nature, what rags we settle for, what scraps, what weak and empty things we settle our hearts on. Feeding on the husks of pigs. Oh, friends, is that what a life of godlessness led you to? Careless, empty, futile existence, on the treadmill of sin, like a hamster going round the treadmill of futility. Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to wisdom. Turn away from sin before it's too late. Seek his grace and his kindness in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the great Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Christ is that fountain of life spoken of by the Hebrew prophets. And Christ says this, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. In the Lord Jesus Christ is a glorious banquet of forgiveness and wisdom and virtue and strength for those who are hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But our friends by nature, what base and frail things we chase after. What empty things we chase after by nature. Things that are weak, things that are poisonous, things that are cheap, things that are base. By nature our hearts are set on idols that spoil us and enslave us and lead us astray. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the bread of life. Seek him, friends. Go to him for wisdom. Read his words. Read his warnings. Look again at his life and his death and his resurrection from the dead. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Life, the Fountain of Life. and in him you'll find solid mercy and grace. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, it takes light to show us that we're in darkness. When you're in a dark place, you don't realize how dark it is until the light shines in brightly. And by nature, our hearts are in darkness, in an ignorance, in a careless and a dangerous state of affairs. By nature, we can't see our own hearts. We don't see our own wickedness, our own uncleanness, our own selfishness. By nature, our hearts are in darkness. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the light of purity and of holiness. Oh, friends, what are you chasing after in life if you don't know the purpose of God and the glory of God and his wisdom and his grace? Seek him while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, friends, what are you doing with your spirit? What are you doing with your conscience? What are you doing with your spiritual opportunities? What have you done with the warnings of God and the promises of God? How carelessly have you dealt with your soul? What have you done with your conscience? What have you done with your principles? Thrown them away on the rubbish tip? Dealt foolishly? Dealt carelessly? Wake up to wisdom before it's too late. Wake up to godliness before it's too late. Wake up to the purpose of God in your heart and your life before it's too late. Seek him while he may be found. Oh, friends, why generate, why stimulate the anger of God against your own heart, against your own life, if you don't know his grace and his wisdom and his power? How shall you stand in the day of days, in the day of your death? How will you give an account for what you've said and done if you don't know the grace of God and the gift of God, and why his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to come and had to die? Where will you be, friends, in that day of days? How will you go before the Holy One, whose eyes are like a flame of fire, with the life that you've lived, if you don't know his grace, or his power, or his wisdom? Again, I'd like to read to you words of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says this, truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is a slave of sin. How lightly we deal with sin. How lightly we consider sex outside of marriage, or lying, or exaggeration. But these things destroy us. They enslave us. They wound us and they degrade us. They bring us low. Oh, friends, he who commits sin is a slave of sin. We love to sing, Britons never, never shall be slaves. But the reality is, every Briton is born a slave. A slave of sin, and a slave of uncleanness by nature. Held captive to the prince of darkness, to the power of darkness, until we know the liberty of the sons of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away from sin. Oh, friends, what is the benefit of a godless and a careless life? What is the gain of living for senses, living just for the here and now, not knowing the way of wisdom, not knowing the way of peace, not knowing his grace or his mercy? Seek him while he may be found. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Look at this poor man here, for example. This poor man here. Oh, friends, what a careless and a reckless thing to do. To neglect the word of God. To neglect its call. To neglect its invitation. Not to know the way of repentance. What a careless thing to do. The Lord Jesus said, he who commits sin is a slave of sin. And so we are by nature, every one of us, enslaved by lust, or by greed, or by hatred, or by jealousy. A thousand sins enchain us and enslave us and drag us away from that righteous standard of God. Oh, friends, seek him while he may be found. Turn away from the thing that will ruin you and disgrace you before it's too late. Where is the benefit, friends, of living for self, living for senses? Look again at your own heart. Look at your conscience. Look at the way you've lived in the past. Look at the wreckage of your spiritual life if you don't know his grace or his pardon. Again, the Savior said this, if you know the truth will make you free. Oh, friends, look at the philosophies of men. They change like a deck of cards. Look at the great political movements of the past. They change and decay and wither and wend down so quickly. There's only one thing that's solid and constant: the sinfulness of man and the righteousness of God. And he calls us to repentance. He calls us to life. By nature, human nature is corrupt and crooked, deceitful and blind. By nature, friends, we justify ourselves inexorably, and yet we find ourselves viler and viler in the sight of God. Don't you hear the verdict of the prophets? Jeremiah the prophet said, "The heart of man is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked." The Hebrew has the sense of being incurable. And so it is, friends. Our selfishness, our rebellion, our hardness of heart is in something incurable in the sight of God, something unclean. By nature, we're slaves of sin, slaves of darkness, until we come to the cross, until we come to the Son of God, the one who has light and the power to wash us. Hear, friends, too, what the Apostle John says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Who do you think you're kidding if you don't know that you're a sinner? Who do you think you're fooling? Do you think you fooled the mighty God, the one who searches the heart, who knows every motive, knows what takes place in our imaginations? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We don't fool God. We don't fool the devils around us. We don't fool our teachers or preachers. Oh, friends, by nature, man is crooked, born to trouble, as sparks fly upward, as Job puts it. And Job sets another question for us, too. He says this: who can bring an unclean thing? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? By nature, our hearts are a cesspool of sin, defiled, unclean in the sight of God, ugly before God. And we need to repent. We need to turn to him for mercy and for washing. By nature, our hearts are given to things he hates. By nature, we're far away from his standards and his law. What a big mistake, friends, not to know the way of cleansing and the way of power. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ said this: if the Son therefore shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. You know, life and death hinges on one issue. Do you know the Son of God? Do you know his power? Do you know his resurrection from the dead? Let me ask you this afternoon: where is Muhammad? Where is Confucius? Where is Buddha? Where is Gautama Siddhartha? Where is Nanugarak? Where are the great religious teachers of the past? Dead and buried, their bones rotting, waiting for the judgment of their sins. Only one is appointed as the Lord of death and the Lord of life. He is the master of death because he's passed through the veil. Oh, friends, only one has trampled death underfoot. In the death of Christ is the death of death itself. In Christ is the resurrection and the life. He said that exactly. I am the resurrection and the life. Where will you stand, friends, in that day of resurrection? When your body is raised from the grave, when you stand in his presence, when those who now sleep in the dust are raised, some to everlasting contempt, how will you stand before him? How will you give an account for what you've said and done? How will you give an account for the things you've done even today if you don't know his mercy, you don't know his washing, you don't know his power? Seek it, and in him you'll find washing and cleansing. In him, and in him alone, is the way of cleansing for our sins. Seek him, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the resurrection and the life. Again, the Apostle John records for us words of Christ where he says this: you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. Do you know, friends, by nature what we are? Puppets. Puppets like this poor foolish man on the right here. A puppet of his own desires and his own appetites. How do we stand in the sight of God? How do we stand with respect to virtue? Are we pulled by the strings of our own lusts and pleasures? Are we drawn aside so easily by temptation? Or do we have moral backbone? Do we have a spine? Do we have the strength to resist Satan? By nature, every one of us is his slave. Every one of us is given to lust and uncleanness. Till we know the new birth, till we know the power of the cross, till we know the power of the resurrection in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, don't throw away your eternal spirit. Don't harden your conscience. Seek him while he may be found. Go to him for mercy and for life. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of death and the Prince of life. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of life. Where will you stand in the day of your death? Where will you stand in the day of the resurrection? How will you give an account for what you've said and done? Even this afternoon, friend, how will you stand before him if you don't know his grace and his kindness? Saviour said this. He was negotiating, he was disputing with the Jews, and he said this: your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. 1,800 years before his birth, Christ speaks of Abraham seeing his day. What was he speaking of? How is this possible? The patriarch Abraham lived about 1,800 BC, and yet the Lord Jesus says, he saw my day, and he rejoiced, and he was glad. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the Word of God, the unveiled majesty and glory of God. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. In him, and in him alone is life. Oh, friends, what have you done with your spirit? What have you done with your heart? What have you done with your conscience? What have you done with your principles? What have you done with your soul? If you don't know the way of mercy, if you don't know the way of peace, seek him while he may be found. Go to the cross and wash your sins away. In him, and in him alone is life. Without Christ, without the Son of God, there is no life. Here is the testimony in Arabic. Hada hi hiya shahada. In Allah atana hayat abadiya. Wa hada hayat hiya fain. Fi ibnihi. Men lehu al-ibn, lehu al-hayat. And laysa lehu ibn Allah, laysa lehu al-hayat. Here is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is found in his Son. He that has the Son has eternal life. He that has not the Son of God has not life, but the anger of God abides upon him. Oh, friends, we need to get real. We need to wake up. Life is short. We've swallowed enough, spent enough time swallowing adult fairy tales. Spent enough time believing the nonsense of the Big Bang. Enough time spent over Richard Dawkins' seductions. Wake up, friends, to righteousness and to wisdom. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near. Why, friends? What is the gain of throwing away your soul, of hardening your conscience, of not knowing the gift and the grace of the living God? Seek him while he may be found. In Christ is the gateway to life. Oh, friends, look again at the cross. Look again at the Lamb of God, the Son of God, wounded for sin. Look again at the Lamb of God who calls us to mercy and to repentance. Oh, friends, what have you done with your soul? What have you done with your record before God if you don't know the way of peace? In the Son is life. In him is mercy. In him is grace and kindness. Seek him while he may be found. Go to him for mercy. In Christ is the great wounded physician. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of death and the Lord of life. Who else, friends, stands against death? Where is Muhammad? Where is Confucius? Where is Gautama Siddhartha, the Buddha? Where is Guru Nanak? Where are the great leaders of the past? Dead, rotting, waiting judgment. Only one stands sinless and pure. The Lord Jesus Christ. Even his accusers found nothing of which to accuse him. In the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, is one who is pure and blameless. One without sin. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near. Oh, friends, I wonder if you've heard of that miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ where he healed a woman who just touched the hem of his garment. 12 years she had a hemorrhage. Her life was flowing out of her. How exactly that pictures us today. Your life flowing away. Your blessings flowing away. The lifeblood flowing away. And no mercy. No peace. No real heart satisfaction. No knowledge of God. No purity in your heart. No relation to God. No real strength. No foundation for righteousness. Oh, friends, you're living on quicksand, living on religious tradition that'll fall in the day of judgment. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Turn away from your thoughts. Oh, friends, how much wiser the foolishness of God is than the wisdom of men. How much stronger the weakness of God is than the power of men. Look again at the cross. There, friends, at the Lord Jesus' death and his resurrection is the gateway to everlasting life, is the access presence into his place. In the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, there is the great Lamb of God, spoken of by all the Hebrew prophets. Let me ask you a question this afternoon. What is inescapable evidence of the falsity of the Quran and the truthfulness of the scripture? How can we tell the two apart? How can we be certain of the truthfulness of the Bible? Because it fulfills the prophecies that went before. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled prophecy after prophecy after prophecy of his coming, of his birth, of his entrance into Jerusalem, of his genealogy, even of the manner in which his clothes would be treated at the time of his death. In every respect, the Lord Jesus Christ was foreseen and foretold. Oh, friends, how specific, how detailed those predictions were. But in Christ, there is the gateway of life. Where do you stand before him, friends? Where do you stand before him? How will you give an account for the way that you're living if you don't know his mercy and his power and his washing? Seek him while he may be found. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus, he said this to the Jews: before Abraham was, I am. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing? He assumed on his lips the very sacred name of God himself, Jehovah God. Before Abraham was, I am. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Was he a carpenter's son in Nazareth? Oh no, much more. Much, much more. The Lord Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word of God. The uncreated, living Word of God. The visible image of the invisible God. In Christ is the eternal Son. In Christ is the brightness of his Father's glory. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What have you done with his name? What have you done with his warnings? What have you done with his death? What have you done with his resurrection? Do you know, friends, the cross is to us two things: an invitation to life and a warning of impenitence. A warning of the danger of hardening our hearts against him. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near. Don't throw away your spirit. Don't throw away your heart. Don't harden your conscience. Oh, friends, seek wisdom while it may be found. Buy the truth and sell it not. How easily we settle for a lie. How easily we settle for a fake tradition. How easily we settle for things which sound seductive, but they're rubbish at the end of time. How easily we live on quicksand. We build our whole spirit on a quicksand foundation. Where do you stand, friends? Building on a life of godlessness? Building on a life of sensuality? Or do you know the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the grace of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, the Lord Jesus said this: I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Oh, friends, by nature we're in great darkness. We don't know ourselves, we don't know God. We don't know the enmity that exists between ourselves and him. By nature, how foolish, how careless we are. How careless we are of the wisdom of God and the power of God. By nature, we find it very difficult to judge things as they really are. We make frail, hasty judgments. But our friends, when the light of Christ shines in our hearts and lives, things become much clearer. We see ourselves as we really are. Weak, frail, so prone to temptation, so enslaved by sin. You know, Christ says, he who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now, by nature, we think of ourselves as free, but how far from the truth that is. You know, the Apostle Paul says that those who are godless walk according to the course of this present world. They're driven like a wind, driven with the tide. Where are you headed, friends? Are you going down the broad way that leads to destruction? Or do you know the narrow way that leads to life? Do you know the way of a pure conscience? Do you know the way of repentance? Do you know the way of washing and cleansing? Do you know the way of power? Do you know the grace and the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to sinful men and women? Oh, friends, don't kid yourself. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Christ is an open fountain, power to take the most defiled heart in Stratford and make it pure. Test him, prove him. You'll discover his power, just as he did with Mary Magdalene, or with Zacchaeus, or with Saul of Tarsus. The risen Christ has power to change the heart, power to wash the most proud and foolish of men, and make them humble and wise and strong, power to give strength to the weak. Oh, friends, What have you done with your heart? What have you done with your spirit? What have you done with your spiritual opportunities? What do you do with your Sunday mornings? Waste them? Throw them away? Sleeping late? Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to wisdom. Seek Him before it's too late. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the way of return. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Life. He is the Lord of death and the Lord of life. And our friend, if you crucify Him today, you'll regret it tomorrow. Seek Him while He may be found. Call on us while He is still near. He is so patient with us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, He is so patient with us. But the Scriptures warn us, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way. Oh friends, have you dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you dealt with His warnings? Have you dealt with His teachings? Where will you stand, friends, if you trust in a dead prophet? If you trust in a dead teacher? If you rely on dead bones to bring you to life in the day of days? Look to the Lord of life, the quickening spirit that comes from above. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of the grave and Lord of life. Look to the one who overcame death, who alone is without sin. Friends, why does death have this grip over us? Why does death have a kind of sting for us? Because of sin within our own being. Because we see, we sense the ugly reality of our own condition when we come close to death. Why does death have a kind of freezing power over our lives? Because at death, we begin to sense the poison of our own condition, the poison of our own heart. But in Christ is the one who kills death, the one who freezes death. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who was raised from the dead. He alone is the King of death and the King of life. He alone is the one with power to wash us, to cleanse us from inside. Oh, friends, He wants purity within. He wants purity and virtue within, not on the outside. He wants a heart of cleanliness, a heart of honesty, a heart of integrity, a heart of love. Let me read to you some of the great commandments of God. Where is the very first commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. But you know, by nature, what do? Steal our hearts for ourselves. Snatch our hearts for ourselves, and we ruin everything. Our conscience, our strength, our virtue, our families, our future, our eternity. Where do you stand in the sight of God if you don't love Him? If you don't know His mercy, you don't know His power. Do you know something? God would never command something from us He doesn't Himself do for us first. God has loved us with all His heart, with all His strength, with all His power in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave the very apple of His eye for us. He gave the very delight of His being for us. The brightness of His glory was crucified at the cross. Why, friends? Why did He die on the cross? If we can escape without repentance, without a new birth, if we can pass through eternity, pass through judgment, without our clothes being singed, as it were, why did He suffer? Why did He go to the cross? Why did He cry out those great words, "It is finished"? Oh, friends, look again at the Lamb of Life. Look again at the Lamb of God. In Him is God's warning to us. The need to seek wisdom before it's too late. The need to seek righteousness before it's too late. Before you end up on the rubbish tip. Before you ruin your spirit. Before you ruin your conscience. Before your life is worthless in the sight of God. You know, friends, how will God treat us in the day of days? How will God deal with us? If our lives are base and unbelieving and careless, how will God deal with us? By nature, our hearts are worth so little. If we live for self, if we live for pleasure, seek wisdom while it may be found. Call upon Him while He is still near. And in Him you'll find mercy and power and grace. I'd like to read to you one of the other great commandments, the words of Moses the prophet, where he says this: "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall in any way reprove him and reject him." So, friends, by nature, how cruel and foolish we are with our own hearts. How foolish we are with our own spirit. How careless we are with the conscience. We need to wake up to wisdom before it's too late. We need to seek His grace and His power before it's too late. Oh, friends, where will you stand in the day of your death? How will you give an account for the things that you've said and done? You don't know His mercy. You don't know His power. You don't know His sentence. In Christ, in the Lord. Jesus Christ, there is the only way by which sin can be washed away, the only way by which our heart can be renewed. In Him, and in Him alone, is the way of peace. Seek Him, while He may be found. Oh, friends, why is it you take pleasure in something frivolous and weak, and the most important matter in life you neglect? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength. Seek Him, friends, while He may be found, and call on Him. Again, words of the prophet Moses where he says this. The Lord your God is a jealous God. Oh, friends, if only we had some sense of the love and the kindness and the power of God toward us. If only we knew something of the burning quality of His love. Oh, friends, when He looks at our hearts, He looks at our lives, looks at our preoccupations with gambling, with sex outside of marriage, with things that will ruin the spirit, things that will sear the conscience, things that will wreck the family life, things that make us bait and cheat. Oh, friends, fear God and fear His judgment. Why, friends? What is the benefit of a godless life? What is the benefit of a careless spirit? What is the benefit of falling asleep and sleepwalking down to hell? Seek His wisdom. Seek His grace before it's too late. In Him, and in Him alone, is life and mercy and power. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord your God is a jealous God. You know, friends, He looks at our hearts. He looks at our thoughts. He considers us. He weighs us up. He considers our imaginations. And He's jealous. He's concerned. He's interested. Like a good friend, He warns us. Look out for the way that you're going. Look out for the destination to which you're headed. Don't you know the broad way leads to destruction? The narrow path only leads to life. We need to repent. We need to seek Him. We need to turn to Him before it's too late. What a careless and a dangerous thing it is to assume we'll be safe in the day of judgment, in the day of audit, in the day of account, if we don't know His mercy, and if we don't know His power to wash and to cleanse. Seek Him while He may be found. Again, the words of the prophet Ezekiel where he said this. Turn you, turn you. Why will you die? Oh, friends, why will you die? Why will you reject the wisdom and the grace and the kindness of the living God? Why will you re-crucify the Son of God to yourselves afresh? Why will you count His blood something unimportant, careless? Oh, friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ is the very power and wisdom and kindness of the Almighty God. How we need that grace. How we need that forgiveness. Today we're blind and careless and sleepwalking. Today we head down towards the fires of hell. Today we wander aimlessly and carelessly, not knowing where we're stumbling at, not knowing where we're going. Like this poor man, a puppet of Satan, a puppet of his own folly. But our friends, even for him, there is grace and mercy if only he'd repent. If only he'd seek the grace and the kindness of God. If only he'd go back to the Father with tears, with sorrow, with a broken heart. In Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the way of return. Seek Him, and in Him you'll find life and grace. Seek Him while He may be found. Again, the prophet Ezekiel said this. Why will you die? Why will you throw your spirit away? Why will you throw away the treasures of conscience? Why will you throw away the precious things of God? Oh, friends, we need His wisdom and His grace more than anything else. Where else will we find real satisfaction apart? Where else will you find real peace? The prophets also say, there is no peace to the wicked, says my God. They're like the troubled sea that casts up its mire. And so we are by nature, friends, restless, agitated, our conscience at war with our spirit. By nature, how far we are from the peace of God's presence within. Oh, friends, God made us for a dwelling place of His Spirit, to know communion with Him, to know the rest of God, to know the still small voice of His presence with us, to know the exceeding great joy of worship. But our friends, by nature, we busy ourselves with nonsense, chased after things of little value, things that are ephemeral, things that pass. pass away so quickly. What a big mistake. What do you think of a poor child who come Christmas time snatch it at the wrapper and reject the present? So it is with us. By nature, we are tangled up in the cobweb of self, tangled up in the cobweb of lust and desire, and neglect the things that really matter. Oh, friends, turn away from sin. Why will you die? Why would you prepare for yourselves judgment to come, indignation in the day of your death? Why, friends, will you store up against yourselves a curse and tragedy, when in Christ is the way of return? In Him, and in Him alone, is the way of grace and peace. I'd like to read to you too briefly some of the warnings from the commandments. Here is the very first of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Friends, here is the great commandment. But look at our society, how it abounds with idols. The idol of the black rock at Mecca, the idols of 1,000 Hindu deities, the idols of the statues of Mary and her image. We are the idolaters by nature. We worship celebrities. We worship the great men. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? The highest esteemed amongst men is abomination in the sight of God. God knows us. God sees what we're really like. He sees under the surface of our excuses. And He warns us, you shall have no other gods before me. With our friends by nature, we worship 1,000 empty deities. 1,000 idols seize our hearts and our attention. What a mistake. What a careless state of affairs to be in. Not to know the gift of God and His grace and His wonderful power to break the chains of sin, free us, and to bless us. Seek Him, and in Him you'll find mercy. Again, the second commandment. You shall make no graven images. But our friends, by nature, we worship God's image in 1,000 forms. What a tragedy, friends, to insult God, to bring Him down, to contract Him to our own imagination, to make Him small. What an insult to worship a saint, or an image of Mary, or a statue, or some idol or abominable thing, or the black rock at Mecca, or the 1,000 Hindu deities. What an insult to God, friends, not to know how He is to be approached properly, how He is to be approached in His invisible essence. In Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him alone, is the mercy and the power and the favour of the living God. Again, the third commandment is this: you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But ah, friends, how quickly we curse God. The psalmist says this: the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He accounts for creation by a myth, by an adult fairy tale. Oh, friends, why do we believe adult fairy tales? Why do we believe the myth of the Big Bang? Why do we swallow whole with hook, line and sinker the nonsense of evolution? Wake up, friends. Look at the data. Look at the evidence more carefully. Look at the evidence. In Christ is the great Word of God, the one who brought all things into being, the one who spoke the universe into existence. In Christ is the one for whom and by whom all things were made. In Him, friends, is the end of creation and the beginning of creation, the author and the finisher of all things. How have you dealt with Him, friends? Have you dealt with the living God? Cursed His name? Trampled Him underfoot? Oh, friends, what a big mistake not to know the mercy and the power and the cleansing of the living God. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is still near. The fourth commandment is very plain. Remember the rest day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. But our friends, how do we spend the Lord's day? How do we spend our Sunday mornings? Chasing after things that are vain and base and cheap. Letting the blood of our lives hemorrhage down the drain. What a mistake, friends. Not to know the way of wisdom, the way of grace, and the way of peace. In Christ is the Sabbath of the soul, the rest of our spirits. In Christ is forgiveness for sin. In Christ is cleansing from sin. And in Him alone is the open door to the presence of the Father. Seek Him, friends, while He may be found. Go to Him for life and for grace while there's still time. Again, the fifth commandment: honour your father and your mother. But our friends, our society, just as was prophesied centuries before, is a godless, careless society. We We don't take honor to our parents. What a careless thing to break covenants, to have no natural affection, to violate the sacred commandments of God, not to know the way of peace or the way of Christ. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near. The sixth commandment, you shall not kill, you shall not murder. Oh, friends, but look around you. How many abortions are committed every year? How many unborn children in the womb terminated prematurely, violated, murdered? Oh, friends, we're a nation guilty with our own blood, guilty with the death of the unborn. And then again, in our hearts, we harbour malice. We harbour things that God hates. We harbour jealousy. We harbour malice. How we need his grace. How we need his washing. How we need that love of God to change us, to wash us, to give us a new heart and a new spirit. Seek him while he may be found, and call upon him while he is still near. Then, friends, the seventh commandment. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if anyone be ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him the Son of Man shall be ashamed in the coming of his glory. That's how he characterized our generation. Sinful and adulterous. And so we are. Adulterous in our hearts and in our thoughts. Adulterous in our eyes. Oh, friends, how far we've drifted away from the righteous standards of God, from his purity, from his own blueprint. And we have sown to the flesh, and we've reaped a harvest of corruption in family life, in society. What a tragedy, friends. Who are the great engineers, the social engineers of the present shipwreck we see around us? The humanists, the atheists, those we now celebrate have ruined our society, and they're dragging it further down. Those who tried to promulgate sex education for primary school children, those who tried to teach sodomy in the schools. Friends, we need to get real. We need to return to the righteous standards of God, to his law. You shall not commit adultery. How, friends, the violation of the sacred covenant of marriage wounds the spirit, sears the conscience, degrades us and defiles us, and enslaves us. Sex outside of marriage ruins the heart. You know what Hosea says? Adultery and whoredom take away the heart. They make us empty. They make us base. They make us cheap. They make us worthless in the sight of God. Until we repent. Until we seek him. Until we know his power and his washing. Oh, friends, seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near. The Holy God calls us to life, calls us to holiness, calls us to repentance, calls us in the death of his Son and his conquest over death to return. Seek him while he may be found. Oh, friends, what a foolish thing not to know the promises of God, not to know his sacred warnings, not to know his kindness and his goodness. Seek him while he may be found. And for the seventh commandment, the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. But by nature, we are thieves to a man, to a woman. We steal our opportunities for ourselves. We steal our gifts and pleasures and talents for our own exploitation. The things that we owe to God, what have we done with them? We've made them cheap. We've made them base. We've made them plain. Oh, friends, we are thieves to a man, to a woman. The thing when we should be glorifying his name, when we should be rendering him to the praise, we've snatched our pleasures for ourselves. You know, friends, if we steal from God, who will protect us in the day of judgment? Who will protect us from his anger? Who will safeguard us in the day of his vengeance, in the day of his justice? If you steal from God, how will you pay him back? If we steal our soul and our spirits and our opportunities, how will you pay him back? Go to him today, friends. Ask for his mercy. Go to the cross. Go to the glorious Son of God, that one appointed for sin, to open up the gates of heaven for us, to seek us and to find us. In him is the great shepherd. In him is the wounded physician. In him is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In him is the incarnate Word of God. In him is the brightness of the Father's glory. In him is the express image of his person. In Christ is the way of return. Ah, friends, what have you done with his sacred name? What have you done with your opportunities? What have you done with your spiritual blessings? Thrown them in the rubbish tip? Treated them carelessly? Treated them basely? You know, there was a warning from the prophets. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. He who honours me, I him will honour. Oh, friends, how have you dealt with God's call? How have you dealt with God's invitation? How have you dealt with God's wonderful love? How have you dealt with his invitation to repentance and mercy? Made it into a joke? Ignored it? Despised it? Cast it behind your back? Or have you done worse than that? Cursed his name and trampled him underfoot, re-crucifying himself to yourself afresh? What a shame. What a tragedy to throw your spirit away like that. To sear your conscience. To make yourself only a fit for judgment, for banishment in the day of days. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near. Oh, friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ is washing for our sin. The worst man in Stratford, the foulest woman in Stratford may find their hearts renewed and washed and changed at the cross of Christ. Christ has power to forgive today, yesterday, and forever. He is the same. But our friends, by nature, we're foolish. We're careless. We chase after things that wound and harm. The ninth commandment, you shall not lie. You shall not bear false witness. But our friends, by nature, we harbour a lie in our right hand so easily. We harbour exaggerations and excuses. We justify ourselves when we know we should justify God. Oh, friends, what a dangerous thing it is to lie. But God cannot lie. When God warns us of hell, he cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. What will your life, friend, be? A fulfillment of his promise or a fulfillment of his warning? It cannot be otherwise. It cannot be otherwise. It cannot be otherwise. A fulfillment of his warning or a fulfillment of his promise? Seek him while he may be found. God cannot lie. When he warns us of the danger of sin, when he warns us of the great need of repentance, friends, do you think God doesn't see? Do you think God doesn't know? Do you think God doesn't understand our hearts and our natures? He knows our frame. He knows how we're constituted better than we know ourselves. Far better. We kid ourselves. We mock ourselves. We deceive ourselves so easily. But our friends, God cannot lie. When he calls us to repentance and life, when he calls us to the gift of his Son, when he paid the ultimate penalty in the cross, in the death of his own beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in him is a remedy for our spirits, the healing for our soul, solid peace that passes understanding. Oh, friends, why do you think they call the Lord Jesus Christ the Prince of Peace? Because he is. He makes peace with an offended father. By nature, we're wandering sheep. By nature, we're hard apart. By nature, we're slow to hear his voice. But he calls us, he warns us, he invites us, he commands us. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of life and the Lord of death. How will you stand before him in the day of days? How will you give an account for what you've said and done? You don't know his mercy. Don't know his forgiveness. You know, friends, who will be the judge in the day of judgment? The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the judge. Can you imagine a more tender-hearted one? One who knows our frame, knows our temptations, knows our weaknesses, and yet he will be the judge. His eyes will be a flame of fire. He will brook no excuses in the day of days. Then it will be too late. Turn away from sin before it's too late. Seek his grace and his kindness before it's too late. Oh, friends, he is strict and pure and holy and righteous. In Christ is the death of death if we seek him. In Christ is an open fountain for sin and uncleanness if we seek him. Our friends, by nature, oh, we live, we sleepwalk our way down towards hell, not knowing what we're stumbling at, not knowing the snares laid out before us, not knowing how defiled and unclean we are in his sight, not knowing the ugliness of our own hearts. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near at hand. Oh, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is very patient, very merciful. The Lord God is slow to anger and of great mercy. But if we despise him, we throw away his warnings, how will we stand in the day of judgment? How will we give an account for what we've done and said? Oh, friends, don't you know every idle word will be taken into account in the day of days? Even our imaginations. us. Even our motives, even our thoughts are naked in His sight. And His standards are purity itself. His standards are holiness itself. Be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. But our friends, by nature, how far we fall, how defiled, how incurable, how evil we are by nature. In Christ is the way of washing. In Christ is that glorious fountain of light that cleanses us and to bless us if only we seek it. If only we turn. If only we look. If only we search Him out. To those who ask, they shall receive. To those who seek, they shall find. To those who come and knock on the door, it shall be opened. Oh, friends, all that qualifies us for heaven is our own hunger, is our own great need, our own repentance, our own anger at our own mess. All that qualifies us for heaven is our own hunger for righteousness, our own hunger for purity. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. But the young lions who chase after godlessness will be left hungry and empty and dissatisfied. Which will you be, friends, in the day of your death? One who lives on the scraps of the here and now, one who sows to the flesh, one who chases after futility and vanity, or one who knows the solid peace of the living God? Seek Him while He may be found, and call on Him while He is still near. For He